Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. As you're turning there, just a bit of introduction to where we are in the text this evening, this week. We learned last week how Abraham believed in God and he was blessed because of his faith in God. And it is through that faith that we are the children of Abraham. That's the promise that Paul gives to the people here in Galatia. And in this passage, Paul compares faith in God versus the consequences of relying in the law and how we are cursed because of it. And this evening, we are going to learn how we and people can turn from being cursed to Christ. Galatians chapter number 3, and look what it says in verse number 10. The Bible says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did what the law could never do. The price of salvation was paid on the cross, while the works of the law would make everyone, the whole world, fall short of a relationship with God. This evening, we've been studying on Wednesday nights through the book of Galatians, and it almost seems like a broken record as Paul is trying to change the mindset of these people that they no longer needed to rely on the law for justification, for salvation, and neither for sanctification. They didn't need the law to grow spiritually, but they needed to have faith and trust in God for spiritual maturity and growth. This evening, as we study these next few verses, the question I have for you is, what is your confidence in this evening? Is it in your works, our experience, our knowledge, or is it in Jesus Christ? If Jesus is your Savior, are you continually trusting in Him with your life, or are you relying on performance to be in good standing with God? In this passage, we are going to learn three truths about the law so that we know the consequences of relying on the law. First, if you look what it says in verse number 10. First of all, notice that we are cursed by the law. Verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Paul specifically speaks to those who are trying to live in the law, and he calls them cursed. He is quoting in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them." But what does he mean by the curse? It's important to note that the problem is not with the law. This is the law that God gave the children of Israel, and the problem is not in that. However, the problem would be with people trying to keep the law perfectly, which is impossible for anyone and everyone because of our sinful condition. See, the law required complete and continual obedience. It wasn't just about obeying the law completely. It was about living this way continually for days, for weeks, for months. And if you sinned against this law, if you transgressed against God's law, if you sinned against God, then you are guilty of all. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." You see, the curse is not on those who, it's not on the law in itself. The curse is on those who tried to keep it. But I think it's very important this evening for us to understand that the concept of the curse is very different today than it was in the Bible days. Maybe you have heard these famous sayings. Maybe you've said them, or maybe you've heard them. How many of you have heard the saying, you know, knock on wood, you know, to prevent something bad from happening? How about this one? Step on a crack or you'll break your mother's back. That's another one. Throw salt over your shoulder, you know, to ward off bad luck. You know, many people, even though sometimes we say it to make a joke or to be funny, there are many people who believe these sayings because they don't want to be cursed. They don't want to bring, you know, bad experiences or bad luck, you might say, in their lives. But when we read in the Bible, we see that blessings and curses were a big deal. They were a part of the law, which is why Paul references Old Testament law so that they would understand the gravity or the penalty of not fulfilling the law. Relying on the law was useless because no one can perfectly keep the law to be justified or to please God. We see in Hebrews that it's faith that pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." This evening, it's not our experience that pleases God. It's not our knowledge or our performance, but it's faith in Him that pleases God. Is God pleased with your faith in Him this evening? Does your faith look like trusting in God, even though it doesn't make sense? Does your faith this evening look like obeying God, even though it's difficult? Does your faith look like depending on God on a daily basis? See, the reason why relying on the works of the law on yourself is useless because when you rely on good works or performance, you are taking faith out of God and you are placing it in yourself. See, trusting in the law would bring a curse because anyone who tried to obey and fail would be cursed to condemnation. Paul begins in verse 10 by explaining that the law wasn't just something that you picked up and partly obey, but you had to continue in it, in all of the law. It wasn't just something that you could wake up one day and decide you were going to obey it. It was your way of life. You had to continue in it continually every day. But look at what it says, it keeps reading in verse number 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." In God's eyes, we cannot be justified by the law. Righteousness by God has always been by faith and not by works. Paul takes a step further by explaining that not only are we righteous before God because of faith, but we also must live by faith. Living by faith was not just a New Testament practice. We also see it in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, "The just shall live by faith." So even before the New Testament times, the truth of faith has always been throughout the Bible. It was always faith in God. This is what the people in Galatia, they were worried about. They were worried about being approved unto God, being accepted by Him, being considered His child. And we'll look at that in the next few verses. But the way that they continued to live and the way that we must live, it's not by just obeying the law, but it's by living by faith. Why is Paul emphasizing this? Why is he emphasizing this living by faith? Well, they needed to understand that it's not in their own selves that they can be approved by God. We already come up short, but it's by faith in Him that pleases God. And that's how the law, and that's how we were cursed because of the law. It's not because of the law that we were cursed. It's because of our sinful condition. As we see that, look what it says in verse number 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Not only are we cursed because of the law, but also we fall short of the law. You see, the law and faith, they could not overlap because you had to live in one. You couldn't live by faith but also continue in the law. You couldn't live by the law and decide that you're going to live by faith. Whichever you decided to do, you had to live and continue in it. That was your way of life. You see, faith says to trust and depend on God, while the law tells us to do or perform our best for God. And that was the command that was given to the children of Israel in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." Verse 5, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." Obeying the law meant living in the law. And the point that Paul is trying to get the people to understand is that we all fall short of perfectly living in the law. You know, many of us this evening, we are comforted by our good intentions at times. We seek validation in our good works. We try to live and do good. But many times we see people start comparing themselves to other people, don't they? I'm not as bad as this person. Maybe this person who committed a crime, you know, I would never do that. We start comparing ourselves, and all of a sudden we think that we're pretty good. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there was none righteous, no, not one." There was nothing good or righteous in us because of our sin. This is what Isaiah said. He said in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." Even the kind things, even the good things that we try to do and attempt to do are still filthy rags. And many times we'd like to stop right there. We understand that our good is still filthy before God. But as we continue reading, look at what the rest of the verse says. "And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our sin, like the wind, have taken us away." It's not enough that our sin is like filthy rags and we are unclean, but it's our sin that is taking us away and separating us from God. It's because of our sin that we cannot have a relationship with Him, which is why it doesn't matter how good we are or how perfect we try to be. It's because of our sin that we are eternally separated from God. So even the good that we do on our own is not enough. Our good intentions are not enough. It doesn't matter how you compare yourself to someone else. According to the Bible, we have all come short of God's perfect standard. And there was nothing that we can do about it on our own. I remember a few nights ago, I was in the kitchen with Brother Noah and Bentley, and Bentley was trying to climb on top of the kitchen counter. And I looked up, I was watching him, and he put both arms on the counter, and he tried to lift himself up. He tried to swing his foot on the handle there and tried to lift himself up. He tried everything he could do. And I kept watching because Brother Noah was off to the side, and he saw what Bentley was trying to do, and he kept saying, "Bentley, I can help you." Bentley would look over at him. Then he continued trying to do it himself. He kept trying to get on top of the counter so that he could sit on there. And finally, he gave up, walked over to Brother Noah, and he picked him up and set him on the counter. You know, he was trying everything in his power to climb on there. As I was watching him, I started to ask myself, how many of us are just like Bentley in the Christian life? Many times we get so busy with our own schedules in our lives that we sometimes forget that help is available. It's so easy to get with our with what we have to do on a day, what we have to accomplish, that we realize that God is offering all the help and the strength that we could ever need. See, blessings won't come from God by us trying to do things in our own strength. A whole chapter in Hebrews is not written about all these people who tried to reach perfection or tried to do things in their own strength. We read about them because they had faith in God. It wasn't because they had everything figured out. It wasn't because they had all the answers. It wasn't because they were perfect people. It was because they took their imperfections and they placed their faith and trust in God. If you have placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior, you have been justified by faith, but now we must walk in faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." How are we living the Christian life this evening? God isn't impressed by our accolades or performance, but it's about our faith in Him. As I keep reading these Old Testament stories of Abraham and Joshua. How was Abraham able to obey God's request to sacrifice Isaac? How was Joshua able to lead the children of Israel into many victorious battles? It wasn't because they knew the future. We had our young adults Bible study game yesterday, and it was, "Would you rather?" One of the questions was, "Would you rather know your future completely, or would you rather be able to have total control of your decisions but have no idea what happens afterwards?" And it was split. There were people that were on both sides. But imagine if these people in the Bible, if they knew their future. They didn't. But they still had faith and they trusted in God, who does know the future and who does know what's ahead. If we want to see God work in a great and mighty way, we have to live by faith. We can't rely on what we see all the time. We have to live by faith. Paul's point is to tell them that we can't just keep the law. We can't just live in the law because we're cursed, because of our condition. But I'm thankful that we were redeemed from the law. Look what it says in verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because we fall short, because there was nothing that we could do on our own, aren't you thankful this evening that Jesus came down from heaven to earth and has redeemed us from the curse of the law that was condemning us to an eternal separation from God? John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Believing in anything besides Jesus will result in condemnation. Aren't you thankful that he provided a way so that we cannot be condemned? So that we wouldn't be lost, that we wouldn't be cursed because of the law? But as I continue reading this verse, how did he do it? Look at the next part of that verse. "Being made a curse for us." This was how he paid for our redemption, by dying on the cross and paying the price for us. It was for us. He didn't have to, but he did. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This was what we deserved. But because he died in our place and was a substitutionary sacrifice for us, we continue reading. "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What we deserved because of our sinful condition is separation from a holy God. But because he died in our place and for us, he is now offering the free gift of eternal life. So we continue reading, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. See, the cross was a symbol of suffering and shame. It wasn't something that people wanted to be associated with, but he willingly went to the cross to be cursed for us. Paul also quotes Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. See, the Jewish people, they did not practice crucifixion, but they understood that this hanging referred to the hanging of a criminal. And we know that the cross was like a wooden post or cut down from a tree. So the picture was very clear to them that any hanging of any sort was a curse. As we see in the ending part of verse 23, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. And crucifixion was introduced by the Romans, and it was for a specific type of people. It was for the rebels, the violent criminals, the runaway slaves, those who tried to claim kingship over Caesar. These were the people that Jesus was identifying with as he was crucified on the cross. As he looked at Jesus, they imagined that this was only for those who had caused insurrection, those who were violent, it was specifically for those people who were criminals. Imagine the shame that it brought, the humiliation as he hung on the tree. But he willingly did it for us. He was accursed for you and for me. He was beaten, he was shamed, and he died for our sins. But aren't you thankful he didn't just stay dead? He rose again on the third day. And we see the promise in Romans 10:13, for whosoever so call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter your wealth. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your mistakes or your failures. The ground is level at the cross. If you are here this evening and you're trying to be as good as you can be according to the Bible, it does not matter. Because of our sinful condition, we are all separated from God. But all you have to do is call out to him. Place your faith and trust in him, and the Bible says that you shall be saved. As we read in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned. Stop trying to work it out on your own when the price of your redemption has already been paid, when Jesus said, it is finished. See, the law demanded payment, and Christ paid it for the entire world. Paul refers to these, he references these Old Testament law in these verses, not because he was trying to remove the purpose of the law or the importance of it. Yes, it is important, but he's trying to remove their reliance on it. See, the purpose of the law was never to save. It revealed sin, it revealed guilt, but it points us to understand our need for a Savior. Look what it says, we continue in verse number 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. If you remember why Paul is teaching these people, this is what the Gentiles wanted. This was the blessing and the promise that they wanted to be a part of. And the Jewish leaders, they were teaching them differently. They were teaching them that, okay, you can't be justified by faith, but if you want to be approved by God, if you want to be in good standing with him, you have to continue to keep the law. And then they would receive the blessing. But we see in that verse that through Jesus Christ, the blessing was no longer limited to just the Jews, but also offered to the Gentiles and to the entire world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It doesn't matter where you came from or who you are. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can become the children of God and receive the blessing and the promise. Amen. We are now in Christ Jesus because of his sacrifice on the cross. Paul made it clear to these people that we are cursed because of the law. We also fall short. But very importantly, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law because of Christ. The penalty that we deserved, Jesus took upon himself. Your sin, your guilt, and your shame was placed on him on the cross. And he offers forgiveness, righteousness, and a relationship with God. This evening, are you trying to earn what Christ has already provided? If you are here this evening and you have never trusted in Christ, you cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot fix this problem on your own. Many people have tried. There is enough good works that you can do. And it's not just you. It's the whole world, because we all fall short. But today, you can stop trying and start trusting in God. And if you are saved this evening, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, are you still living by faith? Or are you going back to trying to do your best, give your best effort or your performance to please God? We please him by faith and trust in him, which is why we need to live the Christian life through faith and not ourselves. Every head bowed, every eye closed. To have a time of prayer this evening. Maybe you're here this evening and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved, how you can be redeemed from the curse. But if you're here this evening and maybe you are saved, maybe you've been saved for a couple of months, a few years, many years, are you still living by faith? Are you trusting in God for tomorrow, for next week? Even when things get difficult, maybe there are some things that you may not understand, will we decide to have faith and trust in God? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message from your word. Thank you for paying the price for us on the cross. The pain, the suffering, the shame, you took on all of that so that we can have a relationship with you. Father, I pray that as Christians, we would continue to live by faith, not rely on ourselves, but that we would look to you, seek your wisdom and your strength. And I pray that you would continue to give us the strength and the help that's available because of you. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.